We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12. Thanks, Joe, for asking me to teach, and Jerry for allowing it to happen. Chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 1 here. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," is what it says in your Bibles probably. "Brethren, I would not have you be ignorant." Now that word spiritual gifts in the text is one word. And you could translate it the spiritual or spiritual matters, I think a lot of us have heard would be a better translation of this. And God does not want us ignorant of things that have to do with Holy Spirit. And that's really what this section of 1 Corinthians is about. And if we skip down to verse 4, it says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all." And those words, diversities and differences, they're all the same word. And it's like a distribution of something. You've got something, you divvy it out, some goes here, some goes there. And in verse 4, there's gifts. I'm not the gift expert here, but Holy Spirit's a gift, I know that. There's gift ministries, right? That word administrations in verse 5 is services. And it's the same Lord, so it's the same boss, but people serve in different ways, right? There's operations, but it's the same God. But then verse 7 says, "But the manifestation is given to who? Every man to profit with all." So it's a shift. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every single one of us to profit. What does the word manifestation mean? I've got the Webster's 1828 definition of the word manifestation here. And it's the act of disclosing what is secret, unseen, or obscure. It's discovery to the eye or the understanding. It's the exhibition of anything by clear evidence. And that's kind of the key word here. Manifestations are evidence of something. When you see the manifestation of something, you're seeing the evidence of something else that's behind it. Bollinger has a making known or a manifesting. And the family members of this word, grammatically, they have this sense of to bring to light, to make visible, to uncover, or to make known. And these nine manifestations are evidences of Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And verse 8, we've got, "For to one benefit, one profit, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, that God would show us what to do when we could never know what to do in a situation. The word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to have an understanding of something that it would be impossible for us to have an understanding of with our five senses. To another, to believe to bring the impossible to pass based on that information by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of to heal somebody, to give them wholeness physically or otherwise by the same Spirit. To another, the working to bring the impossible to pass, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit that we've all got, dividing to every man severally as he will." And, you know, why would God keep any of these back from anyone? Services, like in verse 5 over here, it says administrations, like, yeah. People do different things. There's different ways to serve. You might be good. Why would God not let somebody know what to do in a situation? Why would God hold knowledge back from a believer? Why would God hold being able to work a miracle back from a believer or being able to heal somebody back from a believer? He wouldn't, right? It's all the same Spirit, and we've all got the same ability with regard to these things. And it's just evidence of what's going on the inside. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 14. Won't spend too much on this particular topic. I think it's going to get covered later on. But what is going on the inside a little bit? Verse 14 says, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? They're stupid to him. Neither can he know him because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Two natures, that's what's going on. And one's called the natural man, the old man, and the other is the new man and the Holy Spirit. And it's Christ dwelling in us. Go to Acts 1. Acts chapter 1. So when we manifest, when we speak in tongues, when God shows us something, that's evidence of something. It's evidence of a lot of things, actually, because there was a lot of planning and there was a lot of stuff that went into you and I being able to have that Holy Spirit and be able to do that kind of stuff. In Acts 1:8, it says, Jesus Christ is speaking, saying, but you shall receive what?
Power.
That's what we're talking about here. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Power is natural capability or inherent power. And one translation I like to this, the phrase at the beginning here is, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive natural capability. Now, it's a little confusing to use natural when the Bible says natural man. Inherent power, okay? Inherent in you is power. We have a new nature, and that new nature has inherent capabilities that are just part of it. You don't work for it. There's no like code you have to type in to unlock it, right? You don't level up to get to it. It's just there. It's part of the new nature that we all have. And the manifestations are the evidence of who you really are. They are evidence that you have a different nature from the natural one, the one that we were born with, the old man, and a different nature from what everybody else has got working out there in the world. It looks different, and it's evidence that you are different and that I'm different. And it's also evidence that Jesus Christ got up from the dead and beat the adversary. Let's go to John 14. It's in its natural capability. Like, you know, some people are just good at stuff. At least you can just cook, right? I think. I mean, she works, but like, Lisey made me a roast beef sandwich one time. That was the best sandwich I ever had. I think I've told you that, right? It was straight up, it was sliced bread, like from the bag, and roast beef from her fridge, and she just put it together and she gave it to me. And it was the best sandwich I ever had, and I think about it regularly. I don't even like sandwiches that much. Lisey can just cook. That's what this new nature can just get, word of wisdom. It can just perform miracles. It can just heal people. It's already there. It's already in us. It's already part of you. It's evidence that something has changed. Something changed when you got born again. John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I'm going to die. Why? Because he's going to go to his Father, right? That's what Dr. Rarell was talking about. That's stuff. That's what Jerry was bringing up. I was talking with Juan about this in the car. It's like, I take that for granted, but it's like, you know, it's not just that he died, it's that he got up. And this says the works that he did and greater are available to the people that believe. And that can be you and me. Ephesians 1. It's Colossians 1:27 where it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And that's what we're talking about, the works that Jesus Christ did, the capability that he had, the power he had, the connection with God that he had, the righteousness that he had. That's all wrapped up in you and me right now, inherent. Maybe dormant, right? Some of us have heard that word dynamis described like a stick of dynamite. You must do what with a stick of dynamite? You gotta light it if you want it to do anything, otherwise it's a paperweight, right? We need to use what we have. And in Ephesians 1:19, it says, and what? is the exceeding greatness of his power, God's power, to usward who, what?
Believe.
The exceeding greatness of his power. That word exceeding is like to throw something beyond where you're supposed to throw it. I was thinking, do you remember the Vortex commercials with John Elway? He could throw the Vortex, maybe you guys don't know. When I was a kid, they made the Vortex as like a special football with fins on it, and it was supposed to like throw, you'd throw it farther, and John Elway could throw it like longer than a football field, right? Like there's no reason to go longer, nobody's, right? There's no player that's gonna catch it, you don't get a double touchdown for, right? That's what this is. It's exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or energized in Christ when he did what? Where's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead? You've got it. That power and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Again, not just that he died, that he got up and that he's there. And that's what we've got now. That kind of power. We just have it. It's just part of us. It's like bubblegum in hair. You know, we have two natures, but the spirit part of us is you can't work that out of you. It's in there, right? It's woven in there. You can't get rid of it. And you know, I know that God shows me stuff and I just ignore it because I'm letting my old man run my life instead, you know? It's in there. We just need to pay attention. 2 Corinthians 13, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. In you, in me. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 3 says, this is Paul saying, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is what?
Mighty.
Jesus Christ, he says, is mighty in you. You've got power. You want proof that I'm speaking, you know, by the Spirit of God? He's mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are what? Weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And this is an interesting verse, verse 5. Examine yourselves. Look at yourself. Whether you be in the faith, are you believing God's word? Prove, and that's test yourself. Try yourself out. Prove your own selves. Don't you know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you're a reprobate, but he says, I think you know that we're not, right? We're born again, right? You don't need any convincing of that. But sometimes we need a little more convincing that it is Jesus Christ in us. The same stuff that he could do, we can do, and greater, he said. And what are the greater works? Speaking in tongues, getting people born again, right? But read the Gospels. We'll see a little bit, not a lot right now, but he's mighty in us, but crucified in weakness, it says in verse 4. That's a little weird. Go to John 10. If we're going to do the works of Jesus Christ, maybe we should see, like, how he lived his life. Said Jesus Christ is mighty in us, but he was crucified in weakness. In John 10, verse 18, it says, read verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it, what? No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. God told me this. God said it was my choice. And he chose to do that. It's Matthew 26, 53. I can't remember if we're not going to go there, but that's where he says 12 legions of angels, right? He could have gotten out at any time, and he didn't. He chose. Did he want to do this? We know he didn't. If you read the records in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't want to do this. Was it his idea? No. But he chose to do it. No one made him. No one took it from him. He chose to do it. A thing that he really didn't want to do. Die. Go to Philippians 2. How did Jesus Christ manifest power? How did Jesus Christ live his life? What was his spiritual walk like? Philippians 2. Verse 5. Let this mind, this thinking, this think this way, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is how he thought. That's what the word says. And it says that being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, which I think a lot of us know is really not a great translation. He was equal with God because in that culture, the son, the firstborn son, was equal with the father in terms of rights, privileges, all that stuff. And he didn't use that, this word robbery, he didn't use that to get stuff for himself. He didn't use that to get gain for himself, even though he definitely could have. He was the Son of God, right? But he made himself, in verse 7, of no reputation, and that means he emptied himself. He emptied himself of reputation, of ego, of any sense of his own, you know, blah, blah, look at me, self-importance. And he took upon him the form of a servant. He was a son with equality to his father in that culture, and he chose to serve. And he chose to lose his ego. He chose to lose doing stuff for himself and trying to get gain for himself. Because he was made in the likeness of men and found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that's where it ends, right? This is the thing with the things of God. They may look to the outside world like you're losing. And Jesus Christ looked like a loser to a lot of people. But verse 9 says, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above what? Everybody knows who he is. Whatever they think about him, they know who he is, don't they? And at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. I remember one time I was witnessing and I got mad at some guy. He's like, do you believe in God? And he goes, no. And I just looked at him and I go, you will. Because it's true. He's going to get up. He's going to have to admit that Jesus is Lord. He's going to see that he's wrong about, and I hope he got born again between then and now. But regardless, right? You will. Right? Every knee should bow. Things heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth. All of it. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. God's going to make sure that everybody knows who his son really is. Everybody. That's how God does it. Right? That's why you can trust him. That's why Jesus Christ trusted him. He knew how he was. So verse 12 says, wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with, and that's with just with respect and awe for God and his word, the fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you to will and do of what? Look what he did for Jesus Christ. Look what he's gonna do for him. God works in you to will and do of his good pleasure. Let's work it out. Let's walk on this word. Let's walk with Holy Spirit. Yeah. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 4. That's how he walked. That's how he got results. 2 Timothy 2, 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know? There's a choice there. What do we want? Jesus Christ chose. He had free will just like you and me. And look at what he got to do. Look at what kind of life he had. That's only a year, you know. what they recorded in the Gospels. And what's it say at the end? Is it at the end of the John, like, there wouldn't be room in the world to write all the books that should be written about all the stuff he did? It's wild, right? That's like, that's living. That's really living. John 5. If we want to see the evidence of who we really are, if we want other people to see the evidence of who we really are, more and more, we need to put these pieces of us aside, of our old man, and embrace who God says we are. John 5, verse 19 says, "Then answered Jesus and said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son," what? That's produce, or like Joe said, perform, this word. Jesus Christ said, I can't produce anything by myself. I need God. I need God. And I'm just doing what I see my Father doing. And if you skip down to verse 30, he says it again. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, right? He emptied himself, but the will of what? I mean, that's what he was after. We can have the same pursuit in life that Jesus Christ did, and we can do the things that he did in that pursuit. That is the invitation that God has given us. And you don't need to do any more work. We just need to, like Joe was saying, we just need to start doing it. It's inherent to the nature that's in us to be able to do all of these things. It's in there already. It's just a question of taking the first step. And then God backs you up, and then you get a momentum going, and we all know, we've all been there, right? Sometimes we just get in a little rut. Well, Jesus Christ just said, I'm done. I don't do my own stuff, right? I don't do, you know, he was a cover band. And he was fine with it. We got to be the same way. 2 Corinthians 4. If he couldn't do it himself, we definitely can't, right? I definitely can't do it myself if Jesus Christ couldn't do it himself. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency," again, the vortex, the going over the line, "of the power may be of God and not of" what? It's the same, right? It's the same as the way Jesus Christ's attitude was. Like, that's how it's got to work for us. It's an earthen vessel. You know, this thing's like, I'm not even like old yet, and it's still causing me, starting to cause me problems. This body, you know what I mean? The bodies aren't so great. The world's really not that great, right? What do we got? We've got a treasure. We've got a Holy Spirit. We got power. It's in this thing, but it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. Because the excellency of the power is of God. Jesus Christ understood that. Not of us. It doesn't matter that we're weak. It doesn't matter that we're bad at some stuff and maybe good at like cooking like Lacey or something, right? It doesn't matter. All that matters is that who you really are is a son of God. Who you really are can perform miracles. Who you really are can heal people today. Now. Now. After this teaching and every moment after that and forever. Because it's incorruptible seed. It's not human wisdom we're talking about. It's God's wisdom, right? It's not human might. It's God's might we're talking about. That's what we're talking about tapping into. It's not like, I mean, yes, it's cool to like fix a car or something like that. But fix a heart. Fix somebody's life. You know? Bring deliverance to people that desperately need it and show them who God Almighty really is. That's what we're talking about here. And that's the evidence of who you actually are. 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians 12. Verse 7. Paul's saying, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He saw all this cool stuff from God, right? God showed him all this cool stuff. And then there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So maybe it's okay to pray for something more than once, okay? And he said to me, my grace is enough for you. For my strength is made perfect. And you know, when you read perfect in the word, it never means flawless, right? This means comes to its fullest end, its fullest fruition, right? In what? Weakness, right? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? It's like those, that where was the guy from, African guy? Nairobi? When you need God, you let him work, right? Jesus Christ emptied himself. He set all of that aside and he said, I need God to do anything. I need God to perform or produce anything. I can't do any of it by myself. That's the new life we're talking about, right? That's the new, it's the nature of Christ. Romans 8. He beat death by emptying himself and letting God's power work in him. We manifest the victory in the same way that he got the victory. We manifest it in the same way that he got it. But we don't have to die. And we get to screw up. He didn't get to screw it up. If he screwed it up, it would be really bad, right? We have the privilege of trying and failing over and over again. Because it's incorruptible seed. So just try not letting your old man run your life for like a second. Just try like doing something maybe potentially embarrassing. Because what if we screw it up? God's grace is sufficient for us. Romans 8, verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who's the him that loved us? Well, in the context of this right here, it's Jesus Christ in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. So we want to live like he did. It's Christ in us. We want to walk like he walked. That's that Hooper Nikeo. It's to have victory beyond measure. I would say getting up from the dead and never dying again is victory beyond measure, isn't it? No one ever thought that was ever possible. But apparently it is. And it's going to happen for us too. 2 Corinthians 2.2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always leads us in like a triumphant military procession, that's this word, causes us to triumph, right? That's the one, some of us have heard too, usually in that record in Colossians, but like, where like the guys that lost are in the parade too, like this, like, right? And it's like, there's like, they're blowing the trumpets and stuff like that, and then everybody can see like the shame of everybody that you beat or whatever. That's what this is talking about. And it says God always does that. That's, when we hook up with God, That's the end, right? Look at Jesus Christ's end. I mean, look at the end, like what James says, look at the end of Job, right? He went through some stuff. But it's in Christ that he causes us to triumph like this. Again, to walk in this new nature. 1 John 4:4 says, you are God, little children, have overcome them because of all your hard work. Now you're greater than him that's in the world. It's, again, it's the Christ in us that gives us that newness and that inherent ability. So it's like, how did he handle the adversary? Ephesians 4. How did he handle the world? It's just that stuff we saw in Philippians. It's that stuff we saw in John. It wasn't about him. In Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. And that's like clothes, right? It's to put off like clothes, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. It just rots away. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What are we going to wear? You know, what are we going to wear today? It's not, it's you. You're not a phony for walking like a son of God. You're not a phony for walking like a believer. Even if we've been screwing up all year long, we don't have to apologize for it. You know, we got to have the guts to put the clothes on. Romans 8. To wear the outfit and walk the walk. And to manifest the evidence, right? To bring that evidence forward of who we really are. Romans 8:15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. When we speak in tongues, when we bring forth a word of prophecy, when God shows us something by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all right? When we can see that there's a devil spirit, if we get to cast it out, when we perform a miracle, when we heal somebody, it's evidence. It's evidence that you're God's son or daughter. It's evidence that God loves you. It's evidence that you have an inheritance. It's evidence that you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ, the Messiah. That you're going to be glorified with him at the gathering together. That he beat the devil and death and that he's risen. It's all evidence of that. Every time you, and speaking in tongues is something we can do all the time, right? Every time we do it, it's proof. People want proof. That's proof that all of that happened or is going to happen every time. It's power. Philippians 1. Verse 28. Says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them is an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Evident token is a pointing out with the finger, an indication, a declaration, or a manifestation. And perdition is destruction. And when we walk with God, and we manifest, it's not just evidence of all that cool stuff that we saw before. You show the devil spirits that run this place what their future is. You remind them of what their future is and reminds ourselves of the salvation that's ultimately going to come. It's evidence. 1 Corinthians 1. First Corinthians 1:18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, you know, unbelievers, it's stupid. folly, foolishness, or absurdity is that word. It's dumb to them. It seems like you're dull. It seems like you're missing something. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Somebody's wrong. For it's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent, the ones who are supposed to be smart in this world. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? We believe that or we don't. We believe that God's wisdom is the wisdom, or we think that maybe the world's got something or two to offer. Maybe there's, like, got to hear both sides, right? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. In other words, God made it so that they couldn't figure it out by their own smarties. All this spiritual stuff. All right? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them, which what? It looks dumb if you don't understand spiritual things. It looks dumb if you don't have spirit nature. But we do. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. One wants, like, the, you know, what's it look like in the Word? Does it say, like, Jerry's bringing up, like, the superhero movies and stuff like that. Or I think, like, Street Fighter. Did anyone play Street Fighter? Whatever, yeah. So, like, the one character, Ryu, in Street Fighter, he shoots, like, a fireball, you know? Is that what it's like when we heal people? Like, is there, like, blue electric energy that shoots out of our fingertips, you know? Is that in the Word, you know? The Jews want a sign. They want to see something. You know, some people want a show. Some people want that intellectual wisdom thing, right? They want some complicated whatever. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. You know, they think it's stupid. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God, the dumbest God's ever been, is smarter than the smartest any human being has ever been. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. So let me ask you something. When we manifest Holy Spirit, are we necessarily going to look cool? Are we necessarily going to look smart? Are we necessarily going to look like we're some big, strong, mighty, powerful, whatever? What did Jesus Christ do? He hugged that leper. That wasn't cool to do in that culture, you know? Sometimes he just talked to people. Now, he walked on water. He did plenty of cool stuff, and so can we. But what do we want? Do we want to look cool? Because that's a hindrance, isn't it? It looks to me like the things of God are just the things of God, and they don't really have much to do with the things of the world. But we've got that new nature. All we need to do is just ask and just go with it. And if it looks silly, who cares? We shouldn't. Jesus Christ didn't. Let's go to Matthew 9. Just look at it real quick. The world doesn't understand true wisdom or true stupidity. Matthew 9. We got to learn to walk just by doing it. We got to be meek, right? Because it's God's wisdom. It's not going to seem smart based on the books we've read. It might not, like, the thing that we got to do to heal the person might not seem like the cool thing based on the superhero movies that we've seen. But we've got to listen to God. We got to trust God. And maybe be prepared to do things that we wouldn't want to do or choose to do. And set our notions, our wants, and our experiences aside. Matthew 9, verse 23 says, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house, there's a dead girl, all right? And someone asked him for help. And he came to the ruler's house, and he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. And he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they what? And that means they laughed down at him. They thought they were above the Lord Jesus Christ. So he left because he was embarrassed. Do you think this felt good? What did he do? When the people were put forth, he kicked them out. He went in. What if he'd been embarrassed and left? He took the girl by the hand, and she got up from the dead. Right? The wisdom of God, right, may look foolish. The power of God may look silly, but this girl got up from the dead. Jesus Christ got up from the dead, and people thought his followers were crazy then too. But we're not, right? We're not crazy. It's part of you, this Holy Spirit, this new nature, this power. You can do all this stuff. So can I. We just got to start doing it. We just got to believe it, and we can't be embarrassed, and we can't care. Because you can do nothing without God, and we really can't do much. We really can't do much on our own. Romans 8. I think he would have preferred that they didn't laugh at him in that moment. I would have. He was a man. But it wasn't about him. It was never about him. Romans 8, verse 13 says, "For if you live after the flesh, the old man nature, you'll die. We'll just have a dead life, you know? But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, reckon them dead. Leave it behind, the old man nature. We will what? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." It's evidence. Right? It's evidence of who, what God did, what Jesus Christ accomplished. And 1 Corinthians 12, we'll close there again. 1 Corinthians 12. If we live after the old man nature, we'll die. We'll just be like the other dead people who don't have the life of God in them. It's a nature. It's like how to be every day, right? And 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he the man," what? "To deliberately purpose after careful consideration." That's what that word "will" means. Jesus Christ had a choice to live or to die. And we have a choice also to live or to die. Jesus Christ died so that we could live, and he got up. We choose to leave the dead parts of us behind and to live now. And the way we live is in the new nature, and it's by manifesting Holy Spirit. And we do that by believing what Jesus Christ accomplished, believing that we don't have to work for this, and that God's got our back, because that's what Jesus Christ did.
Fantastic. Wow. Pretty simple, really, if you think about it. Pray, believe the word, and believe who you are. And that is a pretty big deal. We don't live according to the world. We live according to the word. And I mentioned yesterday about seeing signs, miracles, and wonders, about manifesting it. You know, I would have quit a long time ago, and I mean it. I would have quit if this stuff didn't work. It works. There's a person in here that I know of that raised somebody from the dead. I've cast out 14 devil spirits in a person before, gotten people born again, led people into speaking in tongues and interpreting. So many of you see people healed instantly, been healed instantly. This isn't words. These teachings aren't words to get you psyched up and to, you know, okay, I'm going to give it the old college try. These words are life. These words are life. This word of God is a word of life because it's filled with God's word. And he's a living God. Therefore, these words are life, which is much bigger than any of us. And it's just, but so simple, just like Patty shared, simple.